Turn with me in your Bibles, please, for our second reading, our Old Testament reading, to 1 Chronicles chapter 3. First Chronicles chapter 3, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. Now, these were the sons of David, which were born unto him in Hebron, the first, Amnon of Ahinoam, the Jezreelitess, the second, Daniel of Abigail, the Carmelitess, the third, Absalom, the son of Maacah, the daughter of Talmai, king of Geshur, the fourth, Adonijah, the son of Haggith, the fifth, Shephatiah of Abital, the sixth, Ithraim, by Eglah, his wife. These six were born unto him in Hebron, and there he reigned 7 years and 6 months, and in Jerusalem he reigned 33 years. And these were born unto him in Jerusalem, Shimeah and Shobab and Nathan and Solomon, four, of Bathshua or Bathsheba, the daughter of Amiel, Ibhar also, and Elishama, and Eliphelet, and Nogah, and Nepheg, and Japhia, and Elishama, and Eliada, and Ephelet, nine. These were all the sons of David, beside the sons of the concubines, and Tamar, their sister. And Solomon's son was Rehoboam, Abiah his son, Asa his son, Jehoshaphat his son, Joram his son, Azariah his son, Joash his son, Amaziah his son, Azariah his son, Jotham his son, Ahaz his son, Hezekiah his son, Manasseh his son, Amon his son, Josiah his son. And the sons of Josiah were the firstborn Johanan, the second Jehoiakim, the third Zedekiah, the fourth Shallum. And the sons of Jehoiakim, Jeconiah his son, Zedekiah his son. And the sons of Jeconiah, Asir, Salatiel his son, Malkiram also, and Pediah, and Shenazar, and Jechamiah, Hoshama, Nedabiah. And the sons of Pediah were Zerubbabel and Shimei, and the sons of Zerubbabel, Meshulam, and Hananiah, and Shelomit, their sister, and Hashubah, and Ohel, and Berechiah, and Hasadiah, Jushab Hesed, five. And the sons of Hananiah, Pelatiah, and Jesiah, and the sons of Rephiah, the sons of Arnon, the sons of Obadiah, the sons of Shechaniah, and the sons of Shechaniah, Shemaiah, and the sons of Shemaiah, Hattush, and Igeal, and Bariah, and Neriah, and Shaphat, six. And the sons of Neriah, Elioenai, and Hezekiah, and Azrikam, three. And the sons of Elioenai were Hodiah, and Eliashib, and Peliah, and Akub, and Johanan, and Deliah, and Anani, seven. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. All right, so in this chapter, we have a very interesting genealogy. It's the royal descent from the days of David to the days of the Restoration, the royal descent. And so what are we to learn from that, number one, thematically or theoretically? We are to learn that although the children of Israel were taken into captivity and came back from that captivity, that the promises that God made to David and to his house are still good. That Messiah will come of David's household, and he will be that king that reigns upon the throne of his father David. So, while it looked like the monarchy had fallen into ruins, the promises of God had not fallen into ruins at all. They remained, although it appeared that David and his house's fortunes, if you will, or their way in this world was brought very low. And indeed, it was brought very low, but it was not extinguished. If you'll remember Psalm 89 with me for a moment, which is the Psalm of the Davidic Covenant, you'll remember that this is according to God's promises and threatenings. According to his promise, when the house of David calls upon me, I will be there. And according to God's threatenings, if the children of David turn away from my commandments, then I will chastise them with rods. Well, there was that chastising. The house of David was brought low. And yet, now in this lineage, we understand that while it was brought low, it was never extinguished. Beloved, if the house of David is extinguished, we lose our Messiah. And so the people of God are reminded in their coming back to the land during the days of the restoration under Zerubbabel, who is in the Davidic line, that the line of David is still alive. The Messiah is yet to come. The promises of God are yea and amen in him. That's the first point. The second point, then, is the line of David is given without comment, only that certain sons were born to him in Hebron and others in Jerusalem. This is significant because the books of the Chronicles will set forth the history of the kings of David's line as they executed their duty as king of the covenanted nation and whether or not they were faithful to those iterations of the covenant of Moses through David. Right? And so Jerusalem and Hebron are separated. Why? Because Jerusalem is the place where the Lord said he would set his name, and the Davidic king should reign there, and then the sons that he had in Jerusalem are emphasized, and Solomon then will be his successor, a son born in Jerusalem. So there's another really interesting interlude here that we saw in the last chapter. We'll not see it in this chapter, but we are talking about Judah's line, and in Judah's line here, that particular line of David. And so we had an interlude, right, beginning from this line of Judah. Before we even got to David, we talked about Caleb for a bit in the last part of chapter 3, because we would understand that those who had an important part in the nation's preservation and care, the Calebites. But when we return to David and his family, we want to return to the kingly line and remember the substance of God's promise in Christ. That Caleb was mentioned as an adopted son and one that cared greatly or figured greatly into the preservation of the Davidic line. But the Davidic line is what is being emphasized. All right, so now in verses 10 through 16, we have a rapid fire understanding here all the way down from Solomon to the captivity of Nebuchadnezzar. And it's just son by son. Did you notice who's missing? Athaliah is missing. She's not mentioned in the succession of the kings. Why? Well, because she was a usurper from another line. She's not in David's line. She's a traitor, a rebel. She's guilty of treason. Although that was her accusation. By the way, people that are guilty of treason often accuse others of treason, as we've seen, even in our own recent history. And so what do we have then? We have this line by line, the proper and upright successors, although many of those men were not upright in themselves. And so we see that there are good kings and evil kings. But notice what we don't have. We don't have a succession at all with regard to the northern kingdom, because the Chronicles will not speak about the northern kings, only if mentioned by way of incident as they come into contact with the southern kingdom, because that's where God set his name, and that's where they're reestablishing the kingdom upon the restoration. And it is because of the wickedness of the southern kingdom in Jerusalem that they went captive. They need to be reminded of that as they come back, so that they will set up everything according to the order revealed in the mount, and nothing else. All right, so Athaliah is not mentioned. And then notice that all of Josiah's descendants are mentioned, because in one way or another, they all either sat on the throne in an irregular way. They were set on that throne by Nebuchadnezzar. But notice that the Zedekiah that is mentioned here is not King Zedekiah. This is a son or grandson of Josiah. And remember that the Zedekiah that is set on the throne was originally a man named Mattaniah, whose name was changed by Nebuchadnezzar. And it's a conjecture, but it's a decent conjecture that Nebuchadnezzar would come into town and take Jehoiakim off the throne and name his uncle, right, to be his king instead. And what would he say to him? He would say, "What's your name?" Mattaniah. Well, it's not going to be Mattaniah anymore. It's going to be, let me see. What's your name right there? Zedekiah. Okay. Zedekiah, that'll be your name now. Right? In other words, he was named of someone that was his inferior to remind him of his inferior station to Nebuchadnezzar. Maybe. Can't be certain on that. But that he was named after someone that would have been downline of him in the family is important, I think. All right, and then finally we have the remnant of the line of David through the captivity and then after the captivity here, coming back. And for the sake of time, let me just say this, that we have this man by the name of Jeconiah. He was taken away. Remember Jeremiah 22:24. Jeconiah will be like a signet plucked out of the crown, is how the prophet Jeremiah puts it. But then in Hosea chapter 2, verse 23, Zerubbabel is set as a signet in his place. And so Jeconiah is the one who presided over the demise. Zerubbabel is that signet that is restored to glory and is the one who is the king over the rebuilding of the temple, the setting up again of the worship. Zerubbabel, Joshua the high priest, with Ezra and with Nehemiah. And so Zerubbabel is set forth as that restorer. And let's hear about some of the names of his sons as we close. First of all, Meshulam means restitution, as they will come back into the land and they will be reconstituted as the people of God. Hananiah means the grace of Jehovah. Jushav Hesed is mercy will return. Well, this is what Zerubbabel named his sons because he understood his position as a restorer of the worship of God as that monarch. Although he did not reign as a monarch, he was a vassal king. Still, he used the authority that God gave him to advance the kingdom of God in the world, especially in Jerusalem. With that, then, we end 1 Chronicles chapter 3. And